The financial and mortgage crisis, of course, led to a rise in homelessness. It's a problem we tend to see in an urban context, people living in boxes or shelters, or tent cities like the one that got bulldozed in New Jersey a week ago. But homelessness in rural areas is far less visible. Desiree Wieserak is 16. She's in 10th grade in northern New York. For about 5 months last year, Desiree and her family were homeless, living in the woods. North Country Public Radio's Sarah Harris has their story.
Desiree, her dad Kenny, and I have just trekked into the woods outside Parrishville, New York. The rolling farmland has turned into wilderness. It's remote, wild, with tall, dark trees and a raging river. It's hard to imagine that for 5 months, Desiree and her family lived out here.
This is where we would bathe. There is a rock right there that is like a slide that we would sit on and slide down into the water, and it would get deep, and this is where we would go swimming too. And we would hop every single rock.
The past couple of years have been tumultuous for the Wieseraks. Desiree's mom left her dad Kenny and took up with a sex offender. Kenny had health problems and had to stop working. He got custody of the kids and married his current wife, Missy. Last spring, the family was living in a borrowed trailer downstate and had to move out. But they did have family property in Parrishville, where they'd camped every summer. So Kenny decided to bring the family north.
I was happy because I knew I was getting them away from a lot of negative things, and I was putting them in a positive environment because, I mean, out here, I can protect them from pretty much anything, but in the city, things come at you everywhere, you know?
For 5 months, the whole family lived in the woods, in a small camper and a series of tents. There were 10 of them, Desiree says. Kenny and Missy, the grandparents, an aunt, 4 kids, and baby Cameron, who was just a couple months old.
We had no running water, no electricity, and we would have to walk like almost a mile just to get to the camp after school.
Their camp was highly organized, with specific spots for doing dishes and brushing your teeth. They used an outhouse, cooked over the fire, and even watched the occasional movie, running a laptop off the car battery. A funny thing happened in the woods. The Wieseraks are a boisterous, loving family, and they got to know each other better.
Because there was nobody around to communicate with. We were pretty much by ourselves. So we only had each other to depend on.
Eventually, it came time to enroll in the local school, Parrishville Hopkinton. Guidance counselor Melissa Scudder remembers being called down to the office to meet the new family.
And I went down there, and there they all were. They took up the whole main office, and they were filling all the paperwork up.
It wasn't easy for Desiree, adjusting to a new school. She says for a while, she tried to hide the fact that she was homeless.
But then I really couldn't because of, like, us having a fire and the smoke getting under our clothes and us not having a way to wash it. Kind of, like, gave it away because we had the scent of smoke on us. And to come to school when I was homeless and to see all these people get on the buses and leave to go to their houses or leave to go places, it made me feel like garbage because I had nothing.
It didn't take long for the school to get involved. Guidance Secretary Jerry Lynn Wilson started bringing the family food and supplies.
Well, I think I just got involved probably emotionally. I didn't realize how bad it was until I went to visit. To see them up there, they were so happy, you know, very, very happy family. And when you visualize the camp, it was like very, very small. But they made it work, you know.
Mrs. Wilson and Mrs. Scudder knew they had to act fast. Winter was getting closer. So they rallied the community. People started bringing in money, food, and clothes. Someone even brought in a big bag of apples from their orchard. Local organizations chipped in, and the family was able to get seed money for rent. Last October, the Wieseraks moved into their house. The best part, according to Desiree?
The nice warm shower that I was able to get. I felt like I was in heaven.
Rural homelessness is a lot less visible than homelessness in a city. A lot of communities don't have shelters. Instead, people pack into substandard houses. They live in cars, double up with other families, or bounce around from place to place. Or they live outside, like Desiree. And rural communities just don't have the services, like affordable housing or public transportation, that are available in cities. The Wieseraks were lucky. Their help came from the school. And since last fall, Desiree's life has settled down. She has good friends and a boyfriend. She's catching up in her classes. On the five-minute walk home from school, Desiree tells me about her plans. She wants to open a daycare center.
I know when I'm 18, I'm moving out of my dad's house. I'll be still living in Parrishville because I'll still be in high school. But after I graduate high school, then I'm going to college. And then I'm going to start my own business.
Desiree has a home now and a place in the community. But there are thousands of homeless children in rural America who don't. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Harris in northern New York.